It is your boy Herms. It is your boy Tyler Rowe. And we're just a couple of guys who are crossing routes. Yeah, the Crossing Routes podcast powered by FTN. Go to FTNFantasy.com to find all of the cool stuff we do, including this lovely article that Tyler wrote recently about second-year running backs. What we should be doing with some of these guys in dynasty leagues, especially. A lot of podcasts could probably talk to you about Bucky Irving, but we talked about him last week. We could probably tell you for the millionth time that Jonathan Brooks really isn't going anywhere in Carolina, but that wouldn't really be very helpful. So what we're going to do is focus on a handful of 2024 rookie running backs that you can go acquire now for very cheap. We're going to highlight those names throughout the course of this program. Does that sound good, Tyler? You think that's going to be a good show for the people?
I sincerely hope it is, with some really clear, actionable info for y'all to use out there in your dynasty leagues. And heck, some of this information you can apply to redraft as well.
100%. Yeah. Now, there is no shortage to the usefulness that you can get out of this information. And again, this is all housed, these thoughts, this information, in an article on the website, ftnfantasy.com. I will have the link in the description, so you have no excuse not to check out Tyler's thoughts on all of the second-year running backs. But we're going to start by highlighting a player that's in a rather precarious situation right now. Perhaps the player ahead of him on the depth chart might not be around for too much longer, but we'll see. I would like to hear your thoughts on Buffalo Bills running back Ray Davis and why you think people should be a little bit more excited about him.
Yeah, paying a little bit more attention for sure, especially the price. I think there's going to be a theme to these running backs, these second-year running backs that I'm going to be talking about. And it's really just going to be, they can be acquired for fairly cheap. They are forgotten. We all have rookie fever. It's fun to have rookie fever. We're excited about this new class of rookies coming up. But because of that, if you were a second-year player who didn't really do a lot in your first year, you're kind of forgotten about. You were kind of cast to the wayside. Sometimes it's very much, it's been proven that you should probably do that. It's a good thing to do that. But I do think there's some players that we should be giving a second chance in their second year. There's some players that we need to be paying a little bit more attention to, really digging a little bit deeper going into the context here. Ray Davis is one of those players. You know, I was really in on him this offseason. You know, he flashed enough as a rookie, clearly not the lead back there. That's James Cook. But they re-signed Ty Johnson. It kind of threw some cold water in there. And it's like, we know Josh Allen already kind of runs. James Cook is going to be or has been the lead back. And then everything's kind of divvied up behind him. It's like Ray Davis and Ty Johnson. So while I was trying to acquire some Ray Davis this offseason, the re-signing of Ty Johnson kind of threw cold water on that, stalled it a bit. But what that also does is it drops Ray Davis's price a little bit lower. I mean, for me, he's a no-nonsense runner. He had a pretty solid, I'd say, profile coming in. Plays downhill, you know, runs behind the pads, you know, consistently falling forward. He had some pretty solid tape in college, you know, nothing that I was going crazy about. He definitely wasn't a guy I was targeting a lot in the pre-draft process, but I think he showed enough last year where he deserves a spot in the NFL. And he's got some burst, soft hands, he can break some tackles. Like, there's things there that I like. Basically, where I'm going with this is acquiring Ray Davis is something that I'm actively trying to do right now. A, because he could be had for like a third. I know Keep Trade Cut, there's a website out there. It's kind of like a good way, if you're not familiar with it, to kind of get your pulse, your finger on the pulse of dynasty value. And right now, he can be had for a late second, an early third pretty easily, which I think is pretty fair price. Like, no one's really asking the world for Ray Davis here. But there seems to be something going on in Buffalo. There could be rumors, could be absolutely nothing, but maybe James Cook wants a new contract. Maybe he's a little upset with the way things are looking. You know, there's been some rumors that he's unhappy with the contract. I even heard a rumor that, you know, maybe his house went up for sale. Like, but also, he's a free agent after this year, right? So I think there's just... There's a chance, and I would say a decent chance, that maybe James Cook is not a Buffalo Bill next season. There's rumors he's kind of disconnected himself from the Bills, which would lead me to believe that, you know, Ty Johnson's no spring chicken. Maybe he's a solid backup, sure. But there's a world when Ray Davis could actually find a decent amount of carries in this offense. And I think you got to look at the offense itself. Great offense. We love the Buffalo Bills. Yes, Josh Allen runs. This is why we don't see, you know, James Cook with 280 carries, because Josh Allen's running himself.
Yeah.
In the end of the day, I think we need to be paying a little bit more attention to Ray Davis right now. I think there's a chance if something happens to James Cook this season, his value is going to spike. If he's not there this next offseason, his value is going to spike. And it's about getting ahead of the spikes. Like, that's a big piece of fantasy football. So for me, I think you should be going out there and trying to acquire Ray Davis. I think he's draftable kind of in the mid rounds, like, you know, round 9, round 10, round 11 of your redraft leagues, and throwing a third out there to kind of see if, you know, you can get someone to bite on Ray Davis, or things that I think a smart dynasty manager would be doing right now.
I definitely agree, especially because we didn't see a ton of Ray Davis last year in terms of, like, you know, the number of snaps that he was on the field. I think he only had two games where he played over half of the snaps, but we did consistently see him, you know, rip off these big plays. It wasn't always just long runs either. Sometimes he would have, you know, nice little, you know, like screen passes or, you know, stuff like that, and, you know, score these longer touchdowns that way with his hands. And that's something that, you know, when you see a guy consistently be able to put up some of these big splash plays, it's very encouraging, just because, you know, it shows, hey, this guy's an athlete. This guy knows what's going on. He has a nose for the game. And also, just when I went to the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago, the first one I went to was that rookie class that gave us guys like Ray Davis. And he's like, he's a big dude, but like, he's pretty nimble, and he would actually be very good with a lot of his pass catching when we watched him up close and personal. So seeing that translate at the next level wasn't a very big surprise to me. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in there, kind of color it in a little bit more, but I definitely agree with you. That's somebody that I wish people talked about a little bit more, especially if anything does happen in the James Cook realm. If he goes away for any reason, gets hurt, whatever. There's another player that would probably require an injury to the player ahead of him on the depth chart to be fantasy relevant, but it's a name that people are just, I guess, sick of, because the team that he's on drafted another late round running back, and we're just more interested in the shiny new toy instead of the player that's already in house. Why don't you tell me a little bit about Blake Corum?
Yeah. I mean, so I'll have to be honest here. I was out on Blake Corum. Again, watch a lot of Michigan games, lived in Ann Arbor for a while from Michigan. Great running back in Michigan, but that was really how the offense was operating. That's how we decided to kind of go about things with Corum. Is it they wanted to run the piss out of the ball, and he was a great running back. I mean, was it over 1,400 yards his sophomore year, 18 touchdowns, and I think over 1,200 yards his senior year, 27 touchdowns, something insane like that. Like, absolutely lit the world on fire in college football. Again, that was how the offense operated. Totally understand it. He gets drafted in the third round. He gets day two capital, and a lot of people have forgotten how much we were in, or as a community in, on Blake Corum taking Kyren Williams' job last season. Kyren Williams was going to be a punt returner, and Corum was going to be the starter. This was the narrative that people were chasing all offseason. Guess what, folks? It didn't happen. Kyren is the bell cow, and Corum was, I would say, even barely a handcuff in some ways. There was some injury concerns there, but in the end of the day, what I'm getting at here is, because Corum didn't blow up, or he didn't get, you know, kind of like a starting role or threaten Kyren, we have forgotten about him. But now they now go to a day three running back in Jarquez Hunter, and I think people are already assuming that Jarquez Hunter is going to be the handcuff to Kyren. And I'm saying, let's pump the brakes here a little bit on that. Corum is a battle-tested runner, elite college production. I think, you know, he runs well, stays with his linemen, knows how to explode north and south. I still think he's a solid NFL running back. And he can catch passes too. So what I'm trying to say is, Corum is a buy. He's another buy for me. We want the new shiny toy in Jarquez Hunter. I'm not buying it. Corum is a better running back. He's a better prospect than Jarquez Hunter. He was a day two pick. Hunter was a day three pick. And more of like an exact actionable take is, if you're sitting there in the third round, instead of taking Jarquez Hunter, just use that pick and trade for Blake Corum. There's a chance that somebody drafted him and they're done with him. They're thinking, this is over. You know, Jarquez Hunter is going to come in. A lot of people are probably thinking that right now. And for me, I'm just not there yet. I think Corum is going to come in and be the clear handcuff to Kyren. If something happens to Kyren, I believe Corum is going to get the first shot. So you could hypothetically use a third round pick and go get Blake Corum right now, where his value's at. So he's another buy for me. I think he's a much better prospect than Hunter. I think he's, right now for me, the clear cut handcuff to Kyren. And those are the kind of guys I want to start stacking my bench with, right? Where you can't just make every trade to be a league-winning trade with these huge names. We need to build a strong bench, right? In Dynasty, a strong bench is usually, in my opinion, anchored by a lot of handcuffed running backs, and Corum is one of them.
Absolutely. And I just want to remind people, when Kyren Williams first came into the league, he didn't really do anything as a rookie either. I think maybe this is just a bit of a Sean McVay thing. You know, these young running backs that, you know, he brings into the offense don't always immediately do stuff right away. I mean, it took until sort of the tail end of Cam Akers' rookie season to really get going. And he was a second round pick. I mean, that was like a major investment into this player. So I think there's also a little bit of that that people need to remember. Like, as much as we like to see the immediate rewards, there are some places where you really need to sit down, understand what's going on. It's kind of a similar correlation to like Kansas City and the rookie wide receivers learning that offense. Andy Reid comes out and says it all the time. It takes a little bit. You're going to have to, you know, kind of like wait your turn, earn it, and then see what happens. I don't think it's impossible that that could be something for Blake Corum. I just think that people need to quit being so, you know, quick to just throw people to the wayside, kind of like we've been hitting at and we're going to keep talking about with some of the other names on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. We are back. Crossing Grounds Podcast. It's your boy Herms. It's your boy Tyler O. And we are talking about some second-year running backs that you should be paying more attention to. We've already talked about a couple of awesome names in Ray Davis and Blake Corum, but we're going to keep this train going and talk about somebody that, like, dude, I really liked a lot. I thought he was going to end up kind of maybe being a little bit relevant right away. I mean, I know that the Green Bay Packers do have Josh Jacobs. It's not like this player was going to come in and, you know, seize like a massive workload or anything, but I figured Marshawn Lloyd out of USC was going to be able to do a little bit more than he did, but injuries kind of got in the way for him and all sorts of other stuff. But that's the player we're talking about. That's my introduction into it.
Marshawn Lloyd, I mean, he was a good running back, good prospect. Production wasn't necessarily always there. And then this is a great player in terms of what we forgot, right? He was hurt, didn't really see much of him, cast to the wayside. I mean, it was not an uncommon take for people to be really concerned with Josh Jacobs losing work to Marshawn Lloyd last season. I mean, I think Josh Jacobs was like a sixth round pick in some drafts because people were concerned about Marshawn Lloyd before he got injured. So I think this one's an obvious buy because I do really like him as a prospect. He's now locked in as a clear number two in probably one of the league's most run committed offenses that we've seen. I mean, the Lions are up there, the Packers are up there, they run the piss out of the ball. I mean, the Packers were absolutely rolling on the ground last year with Josh Jacobs, and I don't really expect them to shift away from that anytime soon. I think it's part of their identity. I think it's part of how they operate up there. You know, Lloyd brings legit NFL burst, sudden cuts, natural timing. You know, he sets up blocks well. I think he's got twitchy feet, stays low to the ground. He's just one of those guys where there's really no one else behind him to really even come through. Like, there's not even like a rookie out there. I mean, Emmanuel Wilson, I think he looked better than I thought he would. But at the end of the day, like, he's the clear handcuff to Josh Jacobs now and a very good offense that really likes to run the ball. I mean, Marshawn Lloyd is a screaming buy for me. So if he stayed on here past the break, he's probably the biggest buy of the three that I've talked about so far. He's exactly the kind of handcuff that you want on your roster. You know, I would even send out late seconds to get Marshawn Lloyd over some of the guys that are going in the late second right now. You know, an early third even, you know, suggests that you can get it done. Clear handcuff running back on a good offense that likes to run the ball, and he's very talented. He's definitely a guy. If you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know about Ray Davis, fine. You're like, I don't know about Blake Corum, fine. This is probably the one that I would advise you to listen to the most. Marshawn Lloyd is a very good running back on an offense that likes to run the ball. If, you know, God forbid anything happens to Josh Jacobs, he might be a plug and play like low end RB1 on the season. So Marshawn Lloyd is a guy that we need to not forget about, that we need to get back in the top of our minds, and that we need to go acquire. And in redraft, he might be one of the top handcuffs in the league. Maybe it's a little bit of a hot take, but I think we're sleeping on him just a little bit too much right now.
Marshawn Lloyd, definitely co-signed by Herms as well. We probably have time to talk about one more player, and it's a player that I have seen maybe a couple people talk about here and there, but not a lot. Not a lot. It's an interesting guy, and I'll tell you what, if anything happens to the player ahead of him on the depth chart, you are definitely, definitely going to want this running back. Why don't you tell me about Mr. Will Shipley in Philadelphia?
Yeah, deep cut here. Let's end it with a little bit of a deeper cut. This guy's free. I would probably think you get him for a fourth round pick. I don't know anyone who probably wouldn't give him for a fourth round pick. I mean, maybe after listening to this, if you're listening, you're not going to do it. But Saquon Barkley, one of the most valuable assets in fantasy football. Yes, he's very good. But that has a lot to do with the fact that it gets to run behind the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line with Jalen Hurts under center. Yeah. Really tough to worry about just the running back when you got Jalen Hurts. And when you have an offensive line that's that good, you got to pay attention. You know, it's a dream setup for a running back. And of course, Barkley is the alpha here and he's made the most of it. But that also makes Will Shipley, in my opinion, one of the better handcuffs in fantasy. Let's look at the, you know, the rest of the roster here. I mean, A.J. Dillon, I think, is there washed. That's over with. We don't even need to think about that. Shipley, you know, I think he was once highly recruited, you know, a legit pass catcher. He's got that going for him. I would say the college production really didn't meet the hype, but he still has a skill set that can hold up if forced into action. He had a couple, like, you know, moments last year where I was like, all right, this guy's pretty good. But it's really just the offense and the opportunity that presents itself if something were to happen to Saquon Barkley. You know, it wouldn't shock me if he came in a little bit for relief or third downs, but probably not flexible. But just wanted to say, like, I do think, again, he is the clear handcuff here. You know, he's a multi-sport athlete, shows up in his movement, crisp feet, sets up, you know, tacklers with head fakes, subtle shifts, you know, good acceleration. Not a power guy, right? You know, I think it's definitely there's somebody else going to be. If something happens to Saquon, he's not going to be this get the Saquon role plug and play for sure. But the scheme is so good. It's just so nice, and he's free. That's really the piece of this is Will Shipley is absolutely free, and he's probably the handcuff to Saquon. He can catch passes, and he's buying one of the best offensive lines in football, Jalen Hurts. I mean, everything is just lining up to where if Shipley's forced into action, plug and play RB2, you can get it for absolutely free. Folks, I'm setting you up with some pretty cheap and free assets here that I think are going to be great handcuffs for your teams. Guys that you want to take in the later rounds of your redraft leagues, guys that are worth trading for right now in dynasty leagues. Will Shipley, deeper cut, but you need to go get him.
100%, man. Like you said, AJ Dillon, not really that worried about that. Mr. Kenny Gainwell, gone. He's across the state of Pennsylvania on the other team. He's no longer in Philadelphia. It pretty much just is the Will Shipley show. And yeah, anytime you can get a guy that could possibly step up in one of the league's best offenses, you absolutely have to take it. And another opportunity you have to take when you're presented it is the opportunity to subscribe to ftnfantasy.com. Get that premium subscription so that way you can check out all of our articles and get into our stats hub, the home of all of these statistics, analytics, and fun football related math items that you could possibly ever want. And that is going to be the end of this episode. If you want to check out Tyler's full article breaking down these second year running backs, I will have the link for you in the description. You have no excuse not to click on it. And we will see you again on Thursday for another episode of the Crossing Routes Podcast. Staying up and sleeping late.